Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Hope you guys are all enjoying the season. Our leaves, it's been so windy. We had a week or two of our very dry from the drought leaves changing, and now they're blowing all over. But the weather's been beautiful until tomorrow. I hope you had a safe and happy Halloween. I've got to tell you, life has really been a blur. And Halloween just kind of came and went for us, so I wasn't that involved, I guess, this year. We got the dogs their Halloween costumes, way too early, because I was excited about Halloween then. Got some cute pictures up, but on the actual day, it was kind of a non-event. But I know that a lot of you enjoy it, and we talked a little bit about it last week with Simon, and so I hope you had a good day, night, evening. Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers, and for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. Tonight, my guest, I'll talk about her in a minute when I make sure she makes it in. She's not here yet, Ilana Gilead. We're going to talk about finding our voice. Ilana is a TEDx presenter, motivational speaker, teacher, composer, and performer, and founder of Voices of Eden Ancient Wisdom and Healing Music Institute. She was born in the United States. Ilana left for France in 1991 and then moved to Israel in 1994. Would you like to trust your silent voice and find your power regardless of what others might think? Wouldn't it be great to be seen and heard with confidence? Would you like to melt the stress with the holidays on the way? Join me and Ilana in the first hour anyway and find out how. Her website is voicesofeden.com, and make sure to check out Ilana's YouTube channel. The second hour of the show, which might become the first hour of the show and only hour, will be if you would like to call in. I was having some computer difficulty in that 15 minutes ahead of the show I have to log in, and Ilana's not on the switchboard yet, and so this may be a if you want to call in and talk about what's going on your mind tonight, mixed in with a little of our great indie music and then a shorter show, I guess. But in any case, the number is 424-243-9540. Again, 424-243-9540. And I think what I am going to do really quick is play a song for us, warm us up a little bit while I see if I can find Ileana. And hopefully then we'll have her. And otherwise, I'll put a feeler out to a couple of our regulars. Let me see if the chat room is working tonight. I did mention the last 2 weeks that it was not working. And look, it's working tonight. So if you're out there listening, the chat is working. So I'm not sure what those tech difficulties were, but they're apparently fixed. So let me put on the song, and then I'm going to send out a couple messages, and then I will be back and think about if there's something that you would like to talk about. This is, well, let's see. How about Diligence? He's a very nice guy. Diligence with a song called Aptly, right now, Don't Give Up. I'll be right back.
I know you're going through it, stress is weighing on you. It's getting tough to know what to do. You feel the pain in a major way. It's getting harder to live day to day. But you gotta pray to the Lord the grace and have faith that he will make a way. Because it's evidently good to be tough. Stay strong, please don't give up. No, don't give up. You feel the pressure of the stress now. It's getting kinda tough to confess that you're blessed now. Whole life is falling apart, you're depressed now. But no one knows that you are, so you just smile and try to laugh the pain away. Feeling like you're decomposing internally every day. Pain that you cannot explain, you need medicine. Cup of puffs, some Mary Jane, alcohol, etc. Joy is ahead of you, but you do consume with your temporary schedule. Mad bills are due, but your money's in the register. Just enough to get by, not to pay your creditors. Surrounded by predators, judgmental hypocrites habitually misjudging you. If you need help, the Lord will direct you. Depend on his grace, Jesus will protect you. I know you're going through it, stress is weighing on you. It's getting tough to know what to do. You feel the pain in a major way. It's getting harder to live day to day. But you gotta pray to the Lord the grace and have faith that he will make a way. Because it's evidently good to be tough. Stay strong, please don't give up. No, don't give up.
Trials and tribulations, persecution is a promise from the creator of creation through who we honor. Several situations will cause drama that can harm us, but God will get the glory as we praise him and get stronger. The damages are understood by the one who bandaged us. He'll never leave or forsake, misleading, just abandon us. The unanimous love he's handed us surpasses understanding, but he did it anyway, so don't give up and lift your hands up. And what we suffer, little bit of drama, is nothing compared to the joy if we just hold on to the promises. The Father gives reassurance with confidence. God is guaranteed to empower our accomplishments. So be encouraged to go off to him. Offer up worship and praise for the pain that you saw for him. Don't be discouraged. Problems are a part of this life, but without Christ, it's impossible to conquer them.
I know you're going through it. Stress is weighing on you. It's getting tough to know what to do. You feel the pain in a major way. It's getting harder to live day to day. But you gotta pray to the Lord the grace and have faith that he will make a way. Because it's evidently good and you're tough. Stay strong, please don't give up. No, don't give up.
Don't give up.
Diligence, and you can find him at diligence.com. Don't give up. I'm going to move on and chill it out a little bit. That was Never Give Up. Tonight's topic, if our guest shows up, is to be how to find our authentic voice and not be afraid to use it. I can talk about that myself before long. if she doesn't come. But I think I'm going to stop first and let's see what would be the opposite of finding your voice. Listen to the silence. This is Brulé. They're a great Native American band out of Minnesota, although they play all over. In fact, they've got a really awesome, I think it was 4th of July show that they did a number of years back, right at the base of Mount Rushmore, and many, many, many CDs, if that's what people watch anymore, movies and concerts and so many CDs. But this is a song called Listen to the Silence. We'll do that, maybe stretch, do a little deep breathing, and you'll think of something you want to talk about. 424-243-9540. Again, 424-243-9540. Brulé, Brulé, music.com.
Listen.
That was Brulé Music. You can find that at brulemusic.com. Brulemusic.com. Now, I'm going to talk about the topic tonight and take off this information. One thing I would like to do, I had a guest not long ago. Some of you know that I'm writing a book, so that's keeping me very busy these days. And it's really hard. It's different this time because it's not my story that I'm recalling and putting words to paper. This is a social issue, actually. And most of us have touched the perimeter or dove full in on this particular historical model issue that I'm going to be talking about. But boy, when you're doing a lot of research, it's so time consuming. And when I wrote my other books, it was back in 2011, I guess, 2015. It was all pre-pandemic. Hard to remember that, isn't it? Pre-pandemic sometimes. Seems like it's been, well, for those who didn't take it seriously, I guess not. But for those that have really been dealing with it for, you know, now we're looking at going into the third year. Hang on, I've got my microphone plugged in, excuse me, wrapped around my phone. This has been a really weird night. My Skype didn't work, so I'm using my phone, and my computer cord is tangled in it. I wanted to get up and walk so I could grab my drink, but I almost strangled me and you. If you can hang on 1 second. Sorry, a little more than 1 second, but now I'm untangled and no longer tethered. I'm going to walk out of the room for a minute, and then I'll come back. I was going to be talking about a guest. It's funny, there's a few guests that I've had on the show who have wound up on my indie playlist, and I'm going to be writing about one of those guests and his mom in my book, and I'm looking forward to writing that chapter. In fact, that will be soon that I'll be doing that, very soon. But I'm going to walk out for just a minute, and if my guest comes, she'll hang on, I guess, while I go get my drink. Or we'll just make it a short show. Again, you can call in to 424-243-9540. And I'm going to come out here to our back porch because by tomorrow, and then moving forward, not that we won't have some nice days, but it's like 40-mile-an-hour winds today, and temperatures are dropping, and it's been beautiful, but the temperatures are dropping like crazy. You know, finding our voice, and as Ilana was going to talk about our authentic voice, you know, today people are really afraid to talk. If they have found their voice, they're afraid to use it. They say something that would be offensive to someone else. And I was just watching a deal on, oh, it was some NPR thing. I think it was Independent Lens on TikTok. And I've spoken harshly about TikTok before and spoken about the conveniences of social media, but also the demons of social media and how they play to our addictions and manipulate our choices and have way too much power for a machine. In fact, more power than our politicians do, than our government does. And, you know, we've chosen to feed quite a bit of that now, make TikTok number one. So the Chinese government collecting the information over our own, and what are they going to do with that? And we've got a whole generation whose self-esteem, self-worth, choices, how they think, what they think, how they spend their time is all based on a very calculated suggestion by social media. So their voice is what they think other people want to hear, what they think is going to give other people pleasure, get them more likes, keep them as a, I couldn't believe it, they've got a name for these 8-year-olds, content creators. great job title, content creator. We're all that, you know, we're all that. We all create content when we find our voice or when we're following dictation, which is what we're doing a lot of time if we overspend our time on social media. So, nope, not here. So, in any case, today it's a lot harder to find your voice and to feel like you can use it with confidence, which is what she was going to talk about. And I think you do want to come from a basis of love and being nice, but as far as authentic, to find authentic, you really got to get off social media. Not altogether. Again, I realize the good parts of social media. Like, I remembered that my aunt's birthday was today. When I opened my social media account and saw that it was her birthday, I appreciate the reminder. I like to check in on friends and see how they're doing. But at the same time, I have an addictive background. Going back, let's see, on November 17th, it will be 35 years when I was dealing with some addictive disorders, which, you know, I've transferred some of those over to too much shopping, too much ice cream, too much whatever. Never been into gambling. I would rather have something tangible like a new pair of shoes. But anything, you know, anything a person who's got an addictive proclivity in their mind to is going to be addicted to something. That's either going to be positive or it's going to be negative. And again, when I was looking at this show before I came on tonight, they were talking about the average amount of time spent for young people is 5 or 6 hours a day on social media and developing relationships where people are only showing you what they want you to see. Nothing authentic about that. I know that I show you good things. I show you the road trips that my husband and I go on, and our animals and the animal costumes and everything that's happy and uplifting. Because when you come my way, I would like to put positivity out there. And I made a mistake. Yeah, even me. I was on LinkedIn, and as most of you know, and I hope that man, not that he would be listening tonight. Probably never, because of what I said, but he made a comment, and I don't even know who he is or what he does. But what I do know is that he had made a comment about that everybody, oh my God, oh no, should be nice. I'm sorry, that new puppy of ours just ruined my headset. So next week, by the time next week, by the time that I get my Skype back, I guess I will have ordered some new headset. Wow. Incredible. Hang on a minute. I've got to. Never mind. It's just been a crazy week. Anyway, this man made a comment on his social media about being nice, that everybody should be nice. And I thought that was a nice comment. And then the next thing on the thread, and it was funny because I was just posting my show. I wasn't looking, you know, reading posts. And like I said, I don't know this man or even what he does, but I didn't say anything about the being nice. I just thought it was nice. I observed it. Posted my show that was coming up. And then right after that, and I don't know if this was a setup or what from social media, but he made another comment that referenced someone, a person in publicity, the public eye, an influencer, and he said, F you, to that person, directed at that person. And I made a comment, which I don't do for, you know, you guys that have known me, I've been here 12 and a half years every night. Not that I've never made like a political innuendo or something like that. God knows they're all over the place, but I do not spend my time on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, and I wouldn't dream of being a member of TikTok. You know, getting into battle of words with people, because I'm smart enough to know that, you know, there's only people that think alike. Part of it, that a lot of times in the groups that a person belongs to, they've got a bunch of like-minded people. I call that a ring kissing ceremony, and anybody dare to disagree and they're going to get slammed, canceled, banned, whatever it is that people do. But I blew it, and we all do sometimes. I made a comment about, wow, it's amazing that you can purport to be nice all the time 3 days ago and be effing you to someone a couple days later. Wow, what diverse polarity that is, right? Because the person thought different. Now, at the time that I made that comment, I didn't realize that that person had made an anti-Semitic remark, because I had seen him interviewed elsewhere where he actually sounded very cogent, believe it or not. Everything he said made sense. And then I saw part of another interview on another network with another person, and he was driving, and he seemed like he was really agitated. I wouldn't venture to say on something, but definitely agitated. Who does an interview while they're driving 100 miles an hour down the road on network news? But anyway, I didn't hear the guy make that comment. And I don't approve of the comment. And I'm not racist. I'm not anti-Semitic. I wouldn't have said F you on social media to the person. But I wouldn't have been nice to the person if I met them out in public. I'd maybe talk to them about their attitude. They have obviously been through some history and like to talk about it. We all like to talk about our histories and how we've been done wrong or how we've been done right. We all have that in common. We all do that. So I don't know. You know, I made that comment and I wound up, he made a comment back, of course, that wasn't very nice to me. And that's okay. I had it coming. And I did write back and say, apologies. And he assumed I was racist. But, you know, with what's going on today, if you say the wrong thing, this man happens to be white and wealthy. And right now, I heard a snippet of, I don't know, a dozen news programs the other day, and they were all talking about, you know, it's a double standard. Hurt that's being talked a lot about the last couple of years, redirected like it's going to make their past better. Their past played already. And so we're moving forward, everybody trying to get better. But there's some evil force popped in the middle, stirring the pot, because if you turn around and you just have a going to show you how it feels attitude and start talking about privilege and, you know, white whatever, calling white girls Karen, whatever that is, that's racist. So it's hypocritical, obviously, very. If you use the word racism and you purport to hate racism and people who practice it, look in the mirror and don't be one of them. It doesn't validate your point of view in finding your voice if you're going to turn around and do it to someone else. So just either admit you're racist. You don't like black people. You don't like white people. You don't like disabled people. You don't like people with a brain injury. Just come right out and say your truth. Or live level and live your truth 99% of the time. Don't make those racist comments and then talk about being hurt by racism. It's so playgroundish. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And it isn't even you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. It's three times great grandpa hurt my three times great grandpa, so I'm going to hurt you. For God's sake, people, there's somebody in the middle that is stirring the pot. I don't think it's any one of us individually. Could be politicians. Could be something higher than that. It wouldn't take much to make a higher bar these days than that, would it? So consistency and love and trying to move forward. Things have gotten better. And karma, what goes around comes around. You don't have to worry about the one meeting out the justice as you see it. That's what we all have a higher power for. And if you don't have one, if you're your own higher power, that's narcissism. It means you don't think about much or value much but yourself. And that's a tough road to go. It works, you know, probably pretty well for a while to be all that. To be a content creator with the most amount of likes. But then if you watch this show I saw with algorithms, at the strike of a pen, boom, that fast. They can, what they call it, ghosthood, whatever. They can ghost you, cancel you, take away your account. And then you're alone and you're nobody. But that's only because you gave yourself away. And you forgot your own voice, your own authentic voice. It was forgotten because too much time letting influencers, what do influencers do? Influencers influence you. Now, I did a show on TikTok, I don't know, a couple months ago, I guess. Somebody brought to my attention the TikTok challenges. And I think I did a show on 25 TikTok challenges. And this is Brain Injury Radio. I went through 25 of their challenges that had hurt people seriously, killed them in a couple cases, but were really prone to possibly even causing brain injury or brain damage. One of them, I think you all probably know about now, was kids or people, maybe three or four of them, taking a walk down the concrete street together. And the others, all but one, having a plan that at a certain point they would sweep their leg out behind one of the people's legs, causing them to fall. Their legs get kicked out from underneath them. They fall on the concrete, bounce their head off the concrete, and all of a sudden they've got a concussion, they've got a brain bleed, they're unconscious, they're maybe in a coma, they're maybe dead. And that was for entertainment. And the deader they are, and the more people are going, aw, you know, the more little sad faces that there are, and that even counts, is encouraging people to do hurtful things to other people and to A, make that popular, and B, even worse, make it funny. And I talked about on that show that night that I read comments underneath. I assumed it was all crazy kids that didn't have a sense of purpose that was buying this stuff. But that wasn't it. That wasn't it at all. It was, there were grown-ups, grown-up people, parents, that were, well, laughing, making similar comments. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, if these parents are who these kids belong to, who is going to let them know it isn't funny to hurt other people? Whether it's with words or tricks, but certainly not to be the most liked, excuse me, on social media, because it's fun while it lasts. But they will take you out and take you off at the whim when you do something that they don't like. And then the whole last part of this show talked about the confusion, the depression, when people would come, and by the way, TikTok has a different version, Doujin or something like that, that's their Chinese platform. They have a very tight, limited Chinese platform, the CCP, of what their population is going to see. And then TikTok is for the rest of us. That should tell you something right there. Highly regulating what people are seeing. And we've complained that here, you know, now Twitter has a new owner. We'll see what that does. We all know Facebook does it. I don't know about LinkedIn. But we have censorship going on here in this country, and we've been talking about it. This show showed it, what it looks like in a communist country. They make the decision of what you see, what you watch. You are ruled by an algorithm. And you are lured in all your addictive properties to be manipulated and directed by the government. Sound familiar? Okay, that's in a communist country. We're having that happening here. That's a little scary, right? A little scary? And TikTok has jumped over all of our social media to the number one poll position now. So they're in charge of AI and all of our information, all that intuitive stuff that you, you know, sign up to buy something off the site or just sign up to get the account or the things you're interested in, the things you talk about, the private messages that aren't private, everything about it, all of your information, a composite of all your information is going to a government who is our enemy and have not been shy in saying so. And we're doofing around doing challenges like breaking through people's fences. You know, that is for somebody who's never worked a day in their life and had to buy a fence or put a fence back up. You know, when I was young, there wasn't any social media, thank God. And the worst we did, and it was bad, is you throw an egg. If you threw an egg at someone's car or paint or window, it could be very hard to get off. Could ruin a spot on a car. But knocking these people's fences down and knocking people down and whatever else was on that show, you can go back and look at it and see if that's where you want to be and come to the awareness that you don't need a bunch of strangers to like you, to validate your worth, or to find your authentic voice. Your authentic voice belongs to you. It's what comprises you, your thoughts, your feelings, your dreams, your sensitivities, what you're into, and sharing that with other people. Not with the intent of selling them or influencing them to think just like you, to do just like you, to not be cool if they're not just like you. You're just sharing your experience, strength, and hope with friends. People who are really your friends. People who will call or text when they take away your social media page, for one. And I was happy to have that. I got my social media page taken away back. This was really cruel, March of 2020. I won't prolong it because a lot of you know. But I didn't even do anything. My God, I didn't even talk about politics, for criminy's sake. Didn't put up any porn, didn't violate any community standard. They give you a chance to set your settings as to who is going to see what you're posting. And it's pretty easy. Doesn't take a rocket scientist. Only me. Friends only. friends and friends of friends, or public, everyone. I had set my deal to friends only. I figured there was no reason friends of friends had to see what I was saying. If they wanted to see what I was saying, they could friend me, try to friend me. We could be friends. And otherwise, it was really none of their business. And public was a no, a hard no. And if I was just going to do it for myself, why bother? So friends, I wanted to keep up with my friends. And one night, real late, and I can't see so well, particularly on the small screen of my phone, it said, click here to see how the public views your page. Huh. So I did. This was on Facebook, by the way. And when I did that, my full birth date was there, including the birth year. And I had not put that down when I put friends only, and they were showing it publicly. So they violated community standards by violating the settings I chose and them choosing to make a security piece of information public. I was startled and horrified, and I went to change that birth date, and they locked my account, boom, immediately. Mind you, this is March of 2020. It's the beginning of a long period of isolation because of the pandemic. People are going to get quarantined. They can't go out. And boy, did I feel violated. Now, I'm going to say something up front. Because of those addictive experiences I had when I was younger, I learned the minute I logged into Facebook and I felt that pull, I knew immediately that they had put a lot of money into making that an addictive device. And so I never did get addicted, not in the sense that I was there every day, day in, day out, and spending hours. I would check it each day, say hi to a few people, and that was it. But to have it taken away and to have that helplessness there and no one to call or write or communicate with, and to know that that pinhead had that kind of power to release my secure information to the public and then take my page away, and it's still gone. And they had the nerve to send me an email when I wrote them, and they wanted two forms of ID to prove my birth date. And it said that I couldn't block anything off. So they wanted to see all the information that was on the proof. If you put your driver's license up, you couldn't block everything off except your date of birth and your name. They wanted to know it was legitimate ID. So they were siphoning information out of me to prove my date of birth. Well, foolishly, I did that. And I have still never gotten that page back. A couple of years ago, I started a new one, and I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to, because when you feel that violated and you learn the level of manipulation, and that you're not even addicted and you're having those feelings of violation, just like if someone broke into your house or stole something of yours, and you got pushed out right in a pandemic when everybody is freaking out, not knowing what's going on, to get pitched a shutout in quarantine without Facebook for something that I didn't do wrong. I didn't violate any community guidelines or their rules, they're in their kingdom, whatever it is. They did that to me. They bullied me. They harassed me. They siphoned information from me with a promise that I would get my account back. and they lied to me. And it was interesting on this TikTok show on this ghosting thing. One of the comments that was made is that your information's not gone. It's still out there for whoever they want to sell it to, but it's gone to you. And every now and then I will go to log in and I'll see a glimpse of my old page, just a glimpse of my old page. So I know it's still out there, but I can't log into it. And it says the same thing for the last 2.5 years. Whenever I try to go and log in, it says, I don't know. I'd have to look it up. It's been the same answer, the same non-answer for 2.5 years. And that's that they need proof of my ID in order to give me back my page. And so then I tried, but I couldn't log in. That's kind of a crappy thing, too, when you want them to take your page away. When I want to resign that page and delete it, but you can't because you can't log in to do it. You're completely at their will. And so think about that. And how much you like that idea of completely being at someone else's will who's making a lot of money off of your private information and not respecting your rights while they're dictating their rules for you to be a participant. They're not observing those same rules to you. So anyway, this man, I should have kept my mouth shut because I don't want to go down that road again for the 100th time. I don't know him. I don't know what he does. It must have just been a mood. Apologies. We all, I think, have those days. A few things went on this week. A sink overflowed and got clogged in. Our washer didn't work. some things are going on with my folks health-wise. And so I had a lot on my mind, not trying to justify or rationalize, really I'm not. But I was just in that place and I saw NICE, and I don't know why they set it up like that, considering I've never even seen this man. We connected at some point, but I've never watched him. And so it put the posts back to back on my newsreel as I'm just posting my show for the guests that didn't show up tonight, or I wouldn't be talking about all this. Anyway, yeah, being nice is the most important thing. And then F you to somebody who said something offensive. And it was offensive. But we're talking about going on social media and letting our voice be heard. And F you to somebody isn't telling them why it was hurtful to you to hear that, why it was inappropriate to do that. What it did in that moment to me in my ignorance was looking at a post of someone talking about how important it was to be kind and then saying F you to somebody who said something offensive. Good God, if I said F you to somebody that said something offensive, I hear somebody say something offensive almost every day. One happened yesterday. My husband and I have had our physicals planned for months, a year, I don't know how long, long time. We've had our physical, and we got a text that, and my guest may be here, 310, if you're my guest, hang on, and I'll be right with you when I finish making my point, or I'll just answer your call. In any case, we got a text that our doctor's appointment was canceled. Now, thought was, you know, I hoped the doctor was all right. The virus hasn't gone away. He works with people. But I found out when I called that he was going to be back today. So it was just something that came up yesterday that he needed to do, that he canceled our appointment. Well, you know, my husband took a day off work. So a day's pay gone because the doctor decided he needed to stand up an appointment that had been made for a lot of months, I'll put it that way. And we won't be able to get in for another two. And I found that offensive. I said, I hope he's not ill. And the only reason I know why that wasn't the case is because she let it slip that he'd be back today. So if I was looking for something offensive and I read enough social media, watched enough news, got out and about a lot more than I do, you know, I would hear a lot of things if I was in a state of mind to receive it as offensive that would cause me to have the kind of reaction that that man had. But 99.9% of the time, I'm glad to say, I don't do that. I blow it off. Because whether I find it offensive or not, it is not going to change my world or rock my world. And I'm not even going to remember it next week. So is it worth bothering? Probably not. Unless it's someone I care about. And then I would probably say, you know, when you said this, it made me feel like this. I just wanted you to know. Without an expectation of the person changing, but maybe they would if they knew that I found it hurtful. If I just came up and said, F you, that is not a dialogue opener. I'll give you a clue. Not a dialogue opener. That's something different. But in any case, in finding my own voice, I need to go places that nurture my sense of being and not places that tear it down or give me a false sense of self or dictate my sense of self, like too much social media. I don't need the masses of people I don't know to validate my worth or my popularity, my level of wisdom, or anything like that. That's something that's inside me. And just because it sounds people are frightened to speak their truth these days, lest they offend someone or be on the wrong side of the popular fence for dialogue, you know, that's really shutting down our authentic self and manipulating it so that we're either quiet and shrinking and not staying in touch, not speaking our truth, not feeling convicted enough to speak our truth for fear that it might be different from someone else's truth. And I guess I'm going to answer my call that's on the switchboard, but I would just say that while being polite and out of love and trying to be nice, I would always speak your truth and not let it be dictated to you by the masses. You find your truth, and if this is our guest, maybe she'll be telling you how to do that. That's part of it. You find your truth, stick to your truth, have no fear, say your truth, and keep your validity if half the people that hear it don't agree. Not everybody in life is going to agree. That's one thing that lets you know that we are diverse already, because we're not robots where everybody agrees with what we have to say or with what we're doing. That's what makes us distinctly individual human beings. And we can learn from each other's differences. There's a saying, take what you like and leave the rest. Everyone in life is my teacher. I see people that teach me things that I would like to emulate that would enhance my life. But then some of the other things they do, not so much. That doesn't mean that I have to totally dislike or totally like the person. It means they're a teacher. And I'm going to absorb and use that which I think is going to add to my authenticity or support my authenticity, and let the rest go. And we're free to do that. We're free to do that. That's how we become authentic, by feeling freedom and not feeling manipulated or led. So with that, I'm going to answer this call and see if it's my guest or a caller. So let's see. 310, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Elian Aguilar, your guest, who's delighted to be here.
Well, thank you so much for coming. I'm glad that you're here.
I am too. I'm the one.
Our show started an hour ago, so I've kind of been talking about our voice and sharing some personal experience today.
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
so there must have been a mix-up in communication, because the email that I received, I was confused because you said on in 1 minute, but we scheduled for 8 p.m. Pacific time. I know that happens a lot. So
No. It said 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern. So that would have made it 8 Mountain time. But in any case, you're here now. So
gotcha. So maybe that was
that's good.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
well,
I'm with you because, see, I'm in the Midwest. Nobody quotes the Midwest. Nobody quotes Mountain Time. The standard seems, and I've been doing this 12 and a half years, believe me, being in the central states my whole life and knowing what time it was quite an adjustment for me in those first couple years to get all of the time zones down straight.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what I've done, because they all seem to, I don't know why they think they trump it, you know, but the Pacific Coast and East Coast, either end, I guess, are the ones that seem to be quoted. So I always put down 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, and that means it's 8 o'clock for Mountain and 9 o'clock for me in Central time. But I am glad you're here, and I probably didn't talk about anything that you were going to be talking about. I did read your bio, but let me do it again for anyone who might have come in late and thought that I had anything
there
to
may
do
be,
with the topic.
There may be people calling in, too, because I sent out an email, too, for 8 Pacific. So we'll see what happens. And I feel you. Lived in the Middle East and Europe for 30 years, boy, you know, the Middle East is 10 hours ahead, and Europe, depending upon where you are, is 8-9 hours. So, and I have clients who, our students are on 5 continents around the globe, and that has always been one of the biggest lessons for communication, and where things constantly get, you know, like that's such a occurrence, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, the bazillion and one time differences around the globe. And yeah, it's one of the...
you've got it even worse than me. I read that.
Yeah.
About France and Israel. And now that you say it, I'm like, geez, I only had to adjust to 4 time zones. God help me if I had to do the whole world. Geez, that would be really rough. But in any case, everybody, Ileana Gilad is a TEDx presenter, motivational speaker, teacher, composer, and performer, and founder of Voices of Eden, Ancient Wisdom and Healing Music Institute. Born in the United States, Ileana left for France in 1991 and then moved to Israel in 1994. And she must have come back to Mountain Time sometime after that. Okay, would you like to trust your silent voice and find your power regardless of what others might think? Wouldn't it be great to be seen and heard with confidence? Would you like to melt the stress with the holidays on the way? And I had said, join me and Ileana to find out how. And the website is VoicesEden.com, and make sure to check out Ileana's YouTube channel. And for those of you who aren't by a pen right now, or you might be driving, I always put the relevant website and information in the program notes, which you can find, well, anywhere that of the 30 places I posted it today across social media. But you can always find the link that you click to listen to the live show within an hour of the show being over. It's the same link that will play back the on-demand show. And you can always find that at braininjuryradio.com. Or if it's one of my shows and you want to not have to look through quite as many to find it, you can go to my website, inaflash.org, and look under the show tab, and you'll find the show. And it's that easy to go in. So don't panic. We will mention the website and YouTube again towards the end of the show, but don't panic. If you haven't been around here before, it is in the program notes to be found all the time, evermore. Okay, so tell us about finding our true voice. And I was just, I talked about our season changing. If you're in Mountain Time, you may or may not have a season changing, depending on what state you're in. But, you know, we just had Halloween, and I was saying that was, usually I have a good time with that, but I've had an awful lot going on, like a full basket thing that I've been dealing with. So Halloween was kind of a non-event. But as some of the unseasonably nice days we've been having the last week, today the winds picked up to like 45 miles an hour and the temperatures are going to start dropping henceforth, for what I saw, for the next couple days and into the next week. And like, you know, we're marching toward winter now. We're toward the end of fall. And I don't know why I even said that, except that it makes it, it has a heavier feeling to me. Oh, because you mentioned the holidays, the stress of the holidays. I do start thinking about that as the weather changes and as we change our clocks, and Halloween kind of triggers it. And, you know, retail is super bad about making it worse for people like me and other people because, you know, they put out Halloween stuff like in July, and Christmas stuff has been out since September. They're moving everything up, you know, mm-hmm. so the pressure, you know, more stress is being heaped up on television commercials, on emails that you might be getting from places you've shopped before. Good God, one channel, one of those selling channels was having Christmas in July, for God's sake. And, you know, they were using the supply chain issues, using a lot of different reasons, but the point is, you know, more stress, more pressure. It was July, for God's sake. You know, it was summer. Instead of living in the day and enjoying the summer, oh, my God, you know, look at that Christmas ornament. can't live without that holiday ornament. You know, want to make sure that my gifts get here on time. There's so many external things that I was talking about, social media before you came on, and the good parts, but mostly the bad parts that lead us astray sometimes and tell us what our voice should be and dictate what our authenticity should be and make mm-hmm. us think that an amount of likes from strangers is what we need to validate our mm-hmm. worth. And I was trying to bat down some of that. So that's kind of what I was talking about. But why don't you tell us about
very,
you?
Very, very relevant these days, eh? So Kim, what would be, so at this point, what would be helpful to, that we could explore together? What, do you have a specific question that you'd like to ask with regards to that or something else that follows on to what you've been sharing? What would be most helpful?
I think normally what I do is ask for a little bit of background on you, because as I read your qualifications, you know, you didn't come out of the womb a TEDx presenter, motivational speaker, teacher, composer, performer, is a little bit of what put you on the path. It's a little bit of ground question of the audience getting to learn a little bit about you and what put you on the path that you're on to gain this wisdom that we'll go on to talk about that you'll share with the audience.
Sure. Well, I came out of the womb with a big voice, very vocal. But I grew up in a household where children were to be seen and not heard. And, you know, I remember singing and dancing down the street, you know, and just joyfully my parents would tell me, stop that, good girls don't behave like that in public. You know, and I don't know if you experienced that or anybody else listening in, you know, whether you're live or afterwards has experienced that or I'm the only one, but let us know. I don't think so, you know, but what happened is it caused me to learn to express myself in public in a very socially acceptable way to get along with others, you know, and to not make waves. And it helped me move up, you know, the corporate ladder. On the outside, everything looked great, you know, and no one would know the difference. But inside, I felt like such a fake, you know, such a fraud. And because that, you know, that confident veneer was just fake, you know, like you were referring to in social media, you know, it's like looking good. Can you relate? It's like, you know, like say the perfect things and know what to say or know how to show up. But inside, you know you're lying to yourself and you feel like caca because you're to yourself. And, I mean, the worst thing was, I mean, you said I was a, well, the broadcasting came afterwards. I was in marketing, communications, And, you know, come the big recession at the end of the 80s, and a big turning point was I got laid off, and I thought I'd die. And when they said, we're not firing you, we're just not continuing your position, and look for another job. And I believe, it was horrible. And, you know, I believe that we each have a unique voice, and that part of the game of life is to discover what that is and to share it with others. And, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I remember saying, when I'm grown up, I'm going to have friends all over the world, and I'm going to go visit them. And my inner voice was guiding me to leave the U.S., but, you know, I didn't have any support. In fact, you know, my family and my friends, you know, they warned me that, you know, what do you buy bread in the marketplace with faith? Like, get real. You have to be realistic. You know, I'll, like, fear-mongering. And, you know, and yet I was more terrified of getting to the end of my life never having expressed my true voice than I was of jumping off into the unknown. Because I could see, you know, I'm talking about 30 years ago, and I could see the writing on the wall. I remember saying to myself, you know, during that period, you know, in another 20, 30 years, everything is going to fall apart at the seams. And if I make my changes now when I don't have to, I'm going to save myself a lot of pain and strife, you know, when you have to. And so if I make my changes now, then when everything comes apart at the seams, I'll already be on the other side, and then I'll be able to be of help to others. You know, but, you know, who knew 30 years ago? It was just this kind of like this inner knowing. And it really was terrifying jumping. You know, it was terrified not knowing what awaited me, you know, jumping into the unknown. But again, it's kind of like, and it served me over all these years, that initial jumping, you know, it's like there was no guarantee on either end. But, you know, when I would think about, well, if I get to the end of my life and I haven't discovered this thing, there was something inside of me since I was a little girl that said everybody, you know, each of our voices is unique, and we each have a gift to share, and it's part of the game of life to discover what that is. But what if I don't discover what that is? And what was the point of my life? And that terrified me so much more than the terror of jumping off into the unknown. You know, at that point, I felt so isolated. You know, I looked great, but I felt like such a fake. You know, we're talking about self-esteem zero. Let's say like minus it. Looks 10. Self-esteem zero. And so, you know, I achieved success by doing so many of, you know, the right things, but I think maybe even more by avoiding or learning from a lot of the wrong things. You know, most of my mistakes were, you know, buying into what I suspect, you know, you addressed it too with, you know, what we see in commercial media. And, you know, I'm here with you on this line today, very intentionally, having been that broadcaster for CBS, and I threw away my television set in the late 80s. I was a broadcaster
for
the Olympics, 60 million viewers in the U.S., and I owned no television. I wouldn't dare say that. Well, actually, I did. Working in my job as broadcaster during the Olympics in France to the U.S. was in the news research department, sitting next to the guy. This is before the days of internet, you know, but the guy I sat next to, he was the guy who read the wire services, you know, and that was his job every day to, you know, look at the news stories from around the globe and, you know, like what was sensational, what were they going to broadcast on the news besides the Olympics. And every day, you know, I'd hear these, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what happened. And after a time, I got up enough courage, you know, like speaking my own true voice. I may be working here. This is because the Olympics is a good news story, you know. Yeah. But I threw away the television set. I don't watch the news because it's all selling fear. He goes, what are you, from the moon? Tell, what is it? I go, war, rape, pillage, good news is a ceasefire. And, you know, the names change. That's it. He goes, you're from the moon. Let's look. So we did. And it was that. And he said, I swear I'm going to find you your good news story. And he never did. And during that, during those Olympic Games, I prayed to use my voice for a higher purpose. And Voices of Eden is the result, you know, 30 years later. It's exactly 30 years later. That was 1992, the Winter Olympics in December. Wow. And here we are, almost on December to the date, 2022.
Isn't that something? Well, I admire the hell out of you. Just because what you said in the beginning, you know, taking that deep dive, especially when you weren't really being supported in it, you know, some seeds of doubt were being planted and you probably had some of your own, but you still took really brave. A lot of us think about that. We wind up, if we're lucky, finding our voice in another way. But I really admire, I was just saying to someone the other day, I've lived where I live forever. Fortunately, I've traveled a lot in my life, but I've lived here forever, and I've wanted to be somewhere else for a couple of decades. And I was just saying that to someone the other day, and now I've got elderly folks that have health issues, and, you know, the time, and I'm the only one, you know, I'm the only child. So I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to live with myself turning my back and going to find myself now at this particular time with the family dynamic going on. But boy, I sure do wish I would have 20 years ago. So I really admire that you bucked the system that was, you know, like I say.
Yeah, it really comes down to a choice one day at a time, doesn't it? Because, you know, if we're of, you know, at a certain age, you know, in middle age, and, you know, our parents' age, and that's what brought me. I'm actually back in Los Angeles because of my 92. Well, I came back. I came for a visit from Israel to celebrate my mom's 84th birthday and to visit my stepfather who was then in hospice. And I couldn't have known, you know, I was for a 2-week visit, you know, and he passed 4 days after I arrived on the morning of her birthday. And that it's like that was the turning point where I realized it was 20, 30 years later. And it was, you know, when I thought of going back, it's like, no, I can't. And one day at a time, you know, I stayed in L.A. I ended up living with my mom for 4 years. It's one of the most important things I've ever done in my life, coming full circle. And people would poo-poo me, you know, I was like, you know, I'd be interviewed for my work and stuff. And I remember being on stage with this well-known personality here in Los Angeles and, you know, saying I'm living with my mom. And, you know, she raised her eyebrows. It's like, because the unspoken, you're living with your mother? What a loser. And I saw it in her face. I said, sweetheart, how many 50-plus-year-old women do you know who could live with their elderly mother with Alzheimer's and live harmoniously? That's big. That's huge. That's important.
Yeah.
You know, and it was so important for me to say that out loud. And, you know, then I left there. after 4 years, because I could have stayed there also forever out of the good girl, you know, want to come full circle thing, but not being true to myself. And fortunately, or unfortunately, what got me out was I read a research from the National Institute of Health that this is going to blow your mind, that the majority of caregivers in the United States, now, is this a U.S. blog or is this worldwide?
It's worldwide.
Okay, so
50 states and 49 countries.
I've seen it since in Western Europe as well. And again, I have touch with 5 continents, but it is North America. This was actually a research from the National Institute of Health of the United States, but the phenomenon is of North America and Western Europe. The majority of caregivers are middle-aged professional women who are working, business owners or, you know, employed, and they are taking care of their loved ones full-time. And 56% of them die before those who they're caregiving. That scared the holy bejesus out of me. I'm like, oh my God, you think you're service? It's like, if you do that, you're going to kill yourself. How, you know, it's like it was a huge lesson in putting the, you know, what they say on the airplane, you know, to put the mask on yourself before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the rules that we grew up with dictated, you know, programmed in at a young age otherwise, which is why, you know, in Emerge Triumphant Thrive Through Uncertainty, which is why I'm doing this media tour, the ancient feminine leadership paradigm is so, I find, the prophetess Miriam, who was the elder sister of Moses. I find that so inspiring and empowering because that feminine leadership knows its power and knows to self-care first, to self-mother, to nurture oneself first, to fill up the well, to be able to truly give from a full cup. Otherwise, it's manipulation in disguise. Hmm. And you know, I think it's another version of, you know, the looking good on the outside and feeling like caca on the inside. And, you know, you're like doomed to repeat that in every place in your life and in your business or in your profession and in your relationships until you dare stop to replenish your well and, you know, to really care for yourself from within.
That is such good advice, and, you know, this is context, although you really don't need it, but, you know, this is Brain Injury Radio, and so a lot of people that are listening have had a brain injury of some kind. In my case, it was a ruptured brain aneurysm. It could be a stroke, could be ex-football players that have CTE. You know, or repeated concussions or degenerative diseases, anything, but also a large share of caregivers. And those statistics do bear out, and it is very hard to not feel guilty when you when the survivor, the in the lingo around here, when the survivor is the sympathetic character.
Yeah, yeah.
For you yeah. and the world looking in, you know, that's the sympathetic character that's got the issue. And we appear to be the healthy one, but the self-care goes out the window because, and I don't think it's on purpose, the amount of attention that the survivors need. A lot of times they're driven by, yes, they definitely need the help and the attention, but there's also the fear and the grief of what they're losing, and they're going through a process unique to their role. And then the caregivers going through a process unique to their role while still trying to accommodate the survivor. And they do. You're absolutely right. You've been blessed to not only be really intuitive, but to have the balls, to have the guts to act. To act on that intuitive thought each step along the way and not worry. I don't know what other people might think, but not that you maybe haven't ever worried, but to make sure that self-care is in the driver's seat, because you're really not good to anyone, including yourself, if you don't. Yet a lot of us don't.
Well, it comes from early trauma. My mother's brother was married to my Aunt Ruth Ann, who had an aneurysm during the birth of my cousin Jim. And she was comatose for 2 years. And my grandmother took care of her. And then my grandmother died when I was 5 years old, and my cousin came to live with us. And I imbibed trauma with mother's milk. Well, I didn't drink mother's milk. I was bottle fed. But, you know, my mother was traumatized. My mother was terrorized by that. You know, that
yeah.
What if it happened to her? So I came out of the womb. I said I came out of the womb very vocal. There weren't really, you know, like imagine that, you know, imagine coming into that environment. And ironically enough, God bless my Aunt Ruth Ann. So she survived the coma, but she through her lifetime she went through 18 major brain surgeries.
Oh my God.
And my aunt, she would talk, you know, she would talk so slow. And it was, you know, it was traumatizing for me to grow up in that environment. To me, she was just, okay, it was slow, and, you know, it was obvious something happened to her, and as a young child, you know, I couldn't understand. But what was traumatizing to me wasn't her. It was everyone's impatience or discomfort with their own emotions around it that was so hard for me. And that because of their own, you know, doing the best they could but not having tools, I didn't have support, so it was by necessity that I relied on myself, and God bless, yeah, that I focused inside. And ironically, you know, many years later, my father died overnight of a brain aneurysm, though his was at the Circle of Willis, so it was just like overnight. And my life just took a, you know, an amazing turn. But, you know, sometimes our greatest traumas become our greatest gifts when we meet them. And I so appreciate your bringing that up, because just in this short conversation that we're having, it helps me offer a resource, a free resource that, you know, it's like when you look back, it's 20, you get 2020 visions. I lived in Israel, you know, for, it helped me, like those early traumas and looking within really helped to, served me living through three wars and social unrest in the Middle East over 20 plus years. And about 10 years ago, a colleague of mine had a stroke, and his sister called me, because this the ancient therapeutic singing and healing voice, it's a resurgence of an ancient healing modality. And so she called, it's like in the middle of the night, asking if I could come into the hospital, because he was just taken to, you know, to emergency room. He was in surgery. And could I come? You know, would I be willing to? They were very open-minded people. I said, well, you know, if they let me in, you know, if they'll let me into the, to the, you know, surgical unit, or, you know, to the recovery room, then yeah. So I go to, you know, drive over the Haifa to Rambam Hospital, and, you know, to the ICU, and only one person could be in there at a time. So the sister comes out, and she says, okay, you know, like, go ahead in. And so I went in, and they're very simple tools, you know, so I'm employing them myself. It's like our voice is an instrument that connects our inner clarity, our inner voice, our inner guidance to our outer expression. And when we connect to the source of the sound, and this is what the ancients knew, that we then connect to the source of all power, to creation. And I know this. And so it was a test in real time. And he'd just come out of brain surgery. You know, he had the bandages around his head and the blood was all there. And, you know, he was totally out, you know, with the morphine. And the doctor was in there. So, you know, I started composing it with with this sonic application. And it's like in a minute or so, I see he opened. His sister, when she came out, she goes, go ahead in. The doctor said you could go in. She said, he's not responding. He's, you know, like totally out, and we don't know. You know, we don't know. But I started the sound, and all of a sudden his eyes open up for a second, and he's looking up into his head, and I'm like, oh, my God, am I killing him? I mean, he woke up, so I knew something was, there was some kind of response, but I didn't know what was happening. And I go, musica ken, musica lo. You know, music, yes, music, no. And he goes, ken. He said, ken. He used the, you know, he said, yes. So I continued. and then I left. You know, so the next person could come in, and I'm like, whoa. I mean, when he looked up, I go, oh, my God, if this man will remember this moment, he could have an impact on so many people. Because I just knew intuitively that he was looking at, like, into the synopsis of the brain, that whatever he was experiencing was whatever. And I went home, and I went, stroke, boy, sound, you know, and I found if – you know, when sound can be applied, when, you know, in vibration within 2 hours of a stroke, that it has a huge impact. And it was amazing because he got out of the ICU within a week's time, which had never happened in his case before. And they took him to a recuperatory hospital, and they kept having me come in. And oh, like maybe 6 months later, he was like a wholly different person. And he lived in the same town that I did. and we met a few times. And I asked him a few times, do you remember that, you know, do you remember in the hospital? He said, I don't remember the hospital. I remember a few things. I remember the sound. And then I remember the sound, and it's like, whoa. And you know, I've thought about him. So, I mean, the resources, if, you know, there are people, if this speaks to anybody, you know, as you're listening, I have just completed a new free resource, which is at, where is it? voicesofeden.com/unleash. And it, what it actually addresses is how to silence the inner critic and become unstoppable. Because it's that, what I have found and I'm finding really now in so many clients and our students and really in this period of, you know, like post-lockdown, it really reminds me so much of the period after the wars. It's like there's an opening, but then all of the gunk comes out, you know, and it's really, really horrible on one hand. It's so uncomfortable. But on the opposite end, such an opportunity, because it's not bad that it's coming up. It's coming up to be cleared out. But we humans don't like discomfort, you know. And if, you know, and when you've been through the ringer, you know, when you've been through the ringer, it's like, you don't want any more caca, right?
Nope.
But you know, you pay one way, you pay the other. You know, but when with these simple tools, it's like you're letting go of the habit of holding on and pushing it back down. So that's what's so freeing. And the essence of who we are, it's vibratory. So when you connect inside, it solves everything. Because then you're not, you know, why stay at the effect of the triggers, be it social media, be it, you know, be it an illness, be it a whatever. I mean, you know, there are no lack of triggers these days. You know, and
yeah,
add to it.
Kidding.
You know, if you're dealing with, you know, if you're dealing with an illness, then you know, all the more reason to really take care of yourself. It really, it's a matter of your own life and death. I don't mean to sound bombastic, but it really is.
No, I'm glad you do. No, I don't mean that you do. I'm glad that you're being firm about that, because guilt is what has stopped me. I'll just say, I know that guilt has stopped other people too, or, you know, some of these influencing things I was talking about earlier, of the ideas of right and wrong and not listening to our own truth, acting on our own truth, listening to our own voice and knowing. You know, we could be sitting here knowing it's killing us to do it this way and go, as opposed to, I don't know, feel like you bailed on someone. But you know what? It's more of a justifiable bail on someone if you figuratively kill yourself.
Right. You know what? Here's something that really helps me, that maybe it could help someone. This helps me so much. It's called attitude. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. To me, attitude is more important than past facts, education, money, circumstances, failures, successes, what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. and it makes or breaks a home or affair. The remarkable thing is, we have a choice each day about the attitude that we choose. We can't change the past. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string that we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. So it is with you.
Absolutely.
We are in charge of attitude. Is that beautiful?
Yeah.
I made it into a little bookmark last year, and I gave it a stocking stuffers. And it's, you know, I have it in one of, you know.
Very cool.
I read it every day, and that, you know, remembering attitude. We have a choice. We don't have a choice, or we're powerless over what gets triggered or what's on the outside. And that's just, you know, from past programming. We don't have control over that getting triggered. And we have absolute control over how we respond to it. And that's our choice. And there's no right or wrong. How, you know, and gift as well. I think that's the gift of the triggers that we have. You know, how, and it's just, it doesn't need to be bombastic. It really is just one moment at a time. And, you know, progress, not perfection.
Right.
I think we also, you know, buy into this, you know, idea that we need to be perfect, and, you know, and the media just, you know, that's what's portrayed in the media. But, you know, we have a choice what we watch or what we put in.
Right.
That's why I threw the TV away too. Yeah, that's why I threw away my television set. It's like, now I want to be the main actor in my life. I have enough stuff inside for me to let go of, you know, that I put in more caca inside.
Yeah, no, you're
but
right.
That's not the popular notion, but, you know, I think that's another thing. Do you want to be popular, or do you want to be at peace? What's more important to you? And there's no right or wrong. It's your choice. And you're so what if you dare choose something different without even knowing how, without even knowing what? But I had a mentor who gave me such a great gift. He passed last year at 98, and it's actually at his memorial that there was this table with all this literature, and this little poem was on the table. That's what I took, and I made the bookmark in his honor. And he would say, you know, did you know that trust is an action? Like, huh? Yeah, boy, that's a real biggie. Trust is an action. And
yeah,
that's the thing about feminine power, feminine leadership, and Miriam. It's like that feminine power and that feminine voice, it doesn't need ratings because it knows its value. Do you need to influence? When you know who you are? And is it okay that other people do whatever they do? Because they do it, you know, it's not my business what other people do. It's my business what I do. Imagine what kind of world.
Exactly.
You know, as each one of us in, you know, in their own time shows up ever so imperfectly, really imperfectly, but real.
Well, I really appreciate your contributions. I'm sorry, we're at 4 minutes left in the show. Time has flown with us, but the show has been on for 2 hours. I'm glad that I was rattling on about, nothing near as profound, or I would have been off the air when you called in, but it's been worth the price of admission for me to hear. And I'm sure a lot of others out there to hear what you had to say, you know, to trust our own inner voice. I mean, you know, we only, I don't know, some old sage in my life said something once about, you know, on our tombstone is our birth date, our death date, and the hyphen in between is our life. And that means it's incumbent on us to make some decisions, and you really have to shut off some of that. I had the trauma too, growing up, different kind of trauma, and I think that's where a lot of it comes from for a lot of us, but also grooming, a sort of grooming of what's right and what's wrong, whether it's from religion, wishful thinking, authority figures, you know, whatever it might be, and that, you know, kind of like just coming up out of the, dunking ourselves in the water and coming out and letting the guilt, the shame, the fear wash off and just be gone and be raw and be ourselves and take the next step with confidence, as I read in your opening, and, you know, not let these artificial things like shame, fear, guilt be the things that kill us, because it doesn't help who we're trying to help. They're still going to be
and the shame and the guilt is okay also. You know, it can be a real gift to teach us how to be kind to ourselves.
Well, I mean, before it kills us, as you pointed out.
Before it kills us. Well, your beautiful words are reminding me of that beautiful serenity prayer, you know. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. I won't change the past. The courage to change the things I can, you know, my response now in the present moment, and lead them to know. If it's past is past, future hasn't come, here we are now. And, you know, your voice really, really makes a difference. So, you know, how are you choosing to use it? And, you know, I really hope that you'll do something kind for yourself each day, because you really, really deserve it. And it really makes a difference. And there, you know, I'm just so grateful to be here. And, you know, there, if you go to voicesofeden.com, there are just multiple resources there that you can take advantage of. And now there's this new workshop. So excited about it. It's like brand spanking new. It's just like, I just prepared it for the holidays. Okay, here comes the holidays. This is like the first holiday where we're kind of out. And it's like, you know, the stress is flying, and it's a real opportunity to take a moment. You know, it's my way of offering a gift of solace and serenity amidst, you know, amidst the hubbub, and you know, it's opportunity to bring the holy back into the holidays.
Well, I appreciate you being here, Ilana, and everyone, voicesofeden.com. Make sure to check that out. And she's got a lot on her YouTube channel, too. But definitely check out voicesofeden.com. And if you play back, start at the second hour. There's a slider.
Know that also, because we'll send the recording out too.
Everybody will hear it. Well, I was taken kind of surprised. Now we're off the air, but we are still streaming. A lot of people that were listening can't hear us now, but it was just strange, you know, before you came on in the last couple of days, 2 days ago, the washer didn't work. I put the clothes in and I put the soap in and I went to start it and the washer did not work. Actually, it was like 3 days. Anyway, it took 2 days for someone to come over and look at it. Fine, whatever, you deal with that, life on life's terms. And then last night, the kitchen sink got stopped up. And my husband and I had our annual physicals today, and they called this morning to say that the doctor had canceled, that he wasn't going to be in today. Was he sick?
Yeah,
is everything okay? Yeah, everything was fine. He's going to be back tomorrow. You know, we'll go in a couple months. And then while I was here, I went to log in tonight to be there for you. And my Skype, I don't know what's wrong with my Skype. Usually, you know, you tap the icons on your desktop and it comes up. Well, it didn't. So I'm on my phone, which luckily I've got the option to do, but, you know, it's just like, geez. So then I've got a really nice headset and I set it down. We have a puppy, Eddie, who I'm so happy to have talked to you. But anyway, I stepped out of the kitchen. I took the headset off. I didn't need it because my Skype wasn't, you know, I couldn't use my Skype.
I'm so glad.
But then I came in from the back porch. There's air coming through there and my wind chimes. So when I was out there talking to myself in the universe, I was getting some fresh air and hearing my wind chimes. And I came in and I saw Eddie chewing on something and he had gotten the cord of my headset and pulled it down. And he chewed the end off of my headset, never to be plugged in again. So I don't often say.
I'm so glad we had the time that we had together. And thank you so much for your beautiful work, the important work that you're doing. And I have another call now that I have to get on to.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I've posted on Facebook, and then we're sending out, we have something scheduled to go out on Friday morning as well. So
I appreciate that. Well, come back again, and I wish you a peaceful holiday season, and I really appreciate your courage, intuition, and wisdom, and the time that you spent sharing that tonight. It can be done, people. So,
yeah.
Good night and God bless.
Take care, Kim. Bye-bye.
Okay, everyone. Ileana Gilad. Check out her website, Voices of Eden. I close with a quick 2-minute song, Bernard Leclerc,